The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Bruce Valanche. Remember on Hollywood Squares, the guy to the left of Whoopi, if that's possible? I'm listening to John Orlando on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 282. I hope all is well with you, and I want to thank you for checking out this episode. And on this episode, I am going to sit down and have a conversation with a fellow podcaster by the name of George G. He is the man behind a really fun sports-oriented podcast called Dueling Aces. And George and I have kind of known each other for a while, and we've never had each other on our respective shows, so I threw out the invitation, and George accepted. And so we're going to talk quite a bit about the formation of Dueling Aces, another podcasting project that George is involved in. We're going to talk about the cast of contributors that he has for each show of Dueling Aces. We even throw in a little talk about the sports world. And we even tackle a little bit of wrestling. And do want to let you know two quick notes, though, about my conversation with George. First, it did take place last week. And we do talk about the NFL draft, which is happening, obviously, this week. As a matter of fact, as this episode drops, it's happening the same night. And I also want to mention that at a couple of points in my conversation with George, my audio gets like an echo. I don't know why. I tried to clean it up post-production, but I couldn't. And I guess that's kind of ironic for me to mention that because, you know, this past weekend on the 25th of April, the Snobby Awards were held. And I was nominated for Best Audio and Best Production Values, as well as Best Comic Book Related Podcast and Best TV and Movie Podcast. And that's why I said it's kind of ironic that I had these small problems with this episode. By the way, I will mention that I did not win in any of those categories. And I know this is very cliche. I was just happy to be nominated. For a group of people to nominate me for Best Audio and Best Production Values means the world to me. And I absolutely am being 100% honest. I spent a lot of time editing the PVD cast because I want it to be a very good quality sounding podcast. And to be bluntly honest, that's why sometimes, like The Falcon and Winter Soldier, I haven't started that show yet. Because why? I spend time making my content good. And, well, you know what? I've rambled on and on enough. Let's get to thanking a great sponsor of the PVD cast. And, of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, thousands and thousands of back issues. So if you're in Central Ohio, stop on over to the store and say hi to the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. Or if you're out of the area, you can check them out online. Just hit up wgcomics.com on the web, or you can even find them on Facebook. Just search for at wgcomics. And I really do appreciate the support from World's Greatest Comics. I really, truly am so delighted and so humbled that they wish to be a sponsor of this podcast. So definitely check them out, please. No matter if you're in town or out of town, just check them out. See what they got going on. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to be joined by Dueling Aces creator, George G. All right, welcome, everybody. Sitting down with me this evening is George G., the man behind the Dueling Aces podcast. George, how are you this evening, man?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. How the heck are you?
I'm doing okay. I can't complain. I could complain, but nobody's going to listen, right?
Right. I was going to say, do you want to complain? It's 30 degrees outside. Go for it.
Yeah. This is some crazy Ohio weather. You're in Northeast Ohio, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
North Central.
North Central. Okay.
North Central. Just about 20 minutes from Cedar Point.
Okay. Okay. So up there, as of right now, the temperature's dropped quite rapidly. Down here in Columbus, not yet, but it is cool there. We're supposed to maybe get snow.
That four-letter word.
It is almost the end of April, and we're going to get snow.
That's insane.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Dueling Aces, if you will. Can you describe for the listeners what Dueling Aces is all about?
Well, let me kick a rewind on you. It's about 4 years ago now. I was driving for work on the road, as I always was, and I'm listening to the local sports radio station guys on the AM side, and they said, oh, you know, call in with your take and everything. And, you know, I had listened to enough shows, have a good take, be pretty good and brief with it, you know, but you have a good point to go across. I had an excellent point, and I went ahead, called in, was on hold for 95 minutes. And the producer comes back across and goes, sorry, we're moving on to other topics now, and hung up. And I said, you know what? That's a bunch of garbage. I said, you know, this is just insane. I literally should be able to go ahead and tell whoever, you know, whoever's listening on the radio side. I said, you ought to be able to voice your 3 cents and get on and off the air. I said, and come up with it, you know, especially if you have a good take on it, why not? And it just drove me nuts. And I said, you know what? I know podcasting was just pretty much a mainstay thing. And I said, all right, I'll do a little research. And I tried a show solo for an hour. And it's like, yeah, talking to the walls. And I said, nah, got to get a buddy involved. So my buddy Doug, who actually lives up in Detroit, he turned around. I told him, I said, listen, I said, I'd like to turn around and just kind of cover the four mainstay of the sports and get into whatever's going on. And he said, yeah, sounds like a great idea. And next thing we know, we did it for about a year on Blog Talk. And then his mom passed away and we took a little break. And then the next spring rolled around and I said, well, let's give it a shot on Facebook and just kind of do a show on Facebook. And next thing I know is a panel of guys, and we've been having a great time ever since. And we're what, about a year and a couple months into it now. So it's pretty much sit back, relax, guys just kicking back or like being around the table and talking sports. I mean, what could be more fun for a couple hours? Talk about the current sports situation and what's going on and knocking it out of the park and ripping on each other, you know, just like you would sitting around the table any other time, you know?
Yeah.
I had a couple guys who I got one guy who's got a pitcher of beer sitting there and the other guy's got his beers and, you know, it's like, yep. It's just like we're all just sitting on the back patio shooting the breeze. So it's a lot of fun and it's very entertaining.
So can we talk about your crew for a moment? Because you have a kind of a carousel, if you want to call it that, of guests that come on to give their 3 cents worth. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
The main crew, Zolt, okay, is my numbers man. Met him through working for previous company. And he is my numbers guy, stats man. He and I both have a lot of windows up and open, but he usually has a lot of the detailed inside numbers and such, and is also our hockey guy. So, you know, primarily if there's something kicking up through the NHL, roll it through him. Suds, he's our resident, you could say our resident basketball guru, and we let him roll with that aspect. I got Burridge, who's our baseball, who's actually a baseball umpire. So having baseball plus having his umpire side of things is a real great aspect to have on the show. Very good. Very good. Plus his deep knowledge of baseball history. Fantastic. Absolutely excellent to have. Akers is like one of the right-hand man trying to keep up with the chat window as much as he can when he can. And then usually between him and Suds, always trying to mute because they're always trying to get in 3 or 4 cents worth when we've only asked them for 2. Or they'll just kind of take the show off the rails. And like I said, my buddy Doug, I've had him since day one. I definitely would have to have him in. Our guy Shrods is actually met him actually through Zolt, and he is in the Boston area. So it's nice that we've got a little bit of insight from the, you know, East Coast for any sports. Doug, Zolt, and Suds are up in Michigan. Myself, Akers, and Burridge are here in Ohio. Having Shrods over there on the East Coast works. On and off again, we've also got Durkin, who's up in Michigan, big Lions fan. Catches a little too much flack about being the Stafford Lions fan, but it is what it is now. And then I pull in, usually once in a while, pull in the guys from Redline. I'll pull Clint in for wrestling. And then also while Burridge has been kind of on his hiatus from the show because he bowls on Wednesday nights, we've had Adam Wissinger fill in greatly, and it's been an awesome help having him as a part of the crew as well. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better group of guys. We even invite a couple listeners once in a while. We've had Chipper in a couple times. So we've even had Dave in, Kareem, Dave Manning, Sean Herrera, just a whole bunch of different people. It's pretty much, hey, if you'd like to be on, you want to come in and talk about something, come on in. We have a lot of folks who usually are in the chat box. But, you know, once in a while, I'll shoot the invitation out. You know, Sean, Bruiser, Bill, you know, any of these guys. It's like, hey, you want to come on in? Come on in. You know, and we've had some awesome, we had some excellent NCAA football conversation with Bruiser on a couple of shows. And boy, does he bring the knowledge, too. It's quite impressive. You never know what you're going to get on any given show. That's the best part about it.
You know what? You took the next question right off the table. I was going to say, what's the best part of having Dueling Aces? And here it is. You said, you know, just having that camaraderie and just having the show go in a very natural and organic way, huh?
Absolutely. It's like striking up conversation with friends. You know, you could even say it's like hanging out at the bar, you know, or on the back patio at a party. That's exactly what it is. And it's fantastic. It really is. It's a lot of fun.
Well, while we're just talking about Dueling Aces, you want to let everybody know where they can find it, when it airs, and all that stuff. Since we're talking about it right now, let's go ahead and throw a plug out right now.
Right now, we're actually on a hiatus. We are on Redline Radio LLC. There is also a Facebook page for the Dueling Aces shows. We were on Wednesday nights from 8 to 11. Once the hiatus is over, I believe we will probably be in this same time slot, but I think it may go 8 to 10. That is where you can find us currently. I also have another show that I do on occasion, and that is called You're Out of Bounds. This particular show will involve serious topics of or serious aspects of a certain sports story. Zolt and I recently had done the Houston Texans situation a couple months ago. And just a few weeks ago, Burridge and I actually interviewed Gordy Gronkowski, the eldest brother of all of the Gronkowski brothers.
Oh, that's cool.
He kind of gets forgotten by the wayside. Gordy actually, being the eldest, was in the LA Angels farm system, and I actually met him in person. He played here in North Central Ohio for the Lake Erie Crushers Frontier League team, and got to have him over for dinner a couple of times, watched some Monday Night Football, got to know him and the family pretty well. Papa Gronk, excellent guy, and the family is just really down to earth. They really are. Like I said, that specific show is meant to do is literally just the, you know, certain aspects of sports or the sports stories that we've got going on.
Okay, when can folks check out that podcast?
That one is directly, it literally is about once, so far it's been about once every 6 weeks or so. Okay. We don't have anything hard set for that one. Just going to the Facebook page, You're Out of Bounds, and each of the shows are listed there.
So while we're talking about sports, I see that you're a big-time bowler. Is that correct?
Yeah, not as much as my kid is. My son has been tearing it up. He turned 10 years old on January 2nd, and he has bowled 14 500 series and two 600 series, and shot a new high game of a 251.
Whoa. And
for a 10-year-old, that is extremely impressive.
So how did he get into bowling? Because, I mean, with all due respect, a lot of times, you know, 10-year-old kids, they want to play football or basketball or baseball. And bowling, while it is an incredibly awesome sport, I will say that right out the gate, Earl Anthony was the greatest to ever pick up a ball. Anyways, you can debate me on that.
I was going to say, we live in Ohio. Everybody knows you bowl in Ohio. Ohio is where the bowlers are, you know?
Good point. But what got him into bowling?
Ironically, Mrs. Burrich actually had gotten a hold of my wife and said, hey, you know, we could use another couple kids on the bumpers. And Bryce was 4, and he fell in love with it right away.
Okay.
And when he said that he wanted to try to bowl, he said he wanted to bowl with me and Kel without the bumpers. I said, well, I'm going to have to show you. I said, you have to throw it straighter. I says, and you got to throw it out. And I says, and you got to throw it a little harder. You might have to get a little running start. I said, but you do that and it's going to go down. And I says, it'll hit more pins. Next thing you know, his very first bumperless game was an 86. I said, that's not bad for a 4-year-old.
No.
That's pretty good.
By no means.
So, yep, he's been off and running with it since. He's made Pepsi state finals a few times. And actually last year, due to COVID being cut short, he actually finished in first because of it. So he's putting himself some scholarship money together, which is pretty cool.
Indeed. Very much so.
And he's passed me an average. He has a 161 average and mine's a 150 something.
Well, let's talk about some sports if you want. You're a 49ers fan, correct?
Yes, I am a big 49ers fan. And to say that I'm not a little nervous about next Thursday night on what they're doing at pick 3, I'd be saying I'd be lying, because I am super nervous. I mean, usually because I am by birthright a Browns fan and Indians, that's with birthright, you just knew that the Browns, you know, everybody's always like, what the heck are they going to do now? This being the 49ers, I'm actually sitting here going, all right, John Lynch is the GM. The guy knows what he's doing, but holy cow, this is draft day in reverse, kind of. I said, 3 number ones. I was like, 3 years of number ones for the third spot. I said, that wasn't even for the first spot. He went for the third spot, and it was 3 years of number ones. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But there are so many quarterbacks, and it's just a matter of who's going to get picked and what the order is going to be. And it's a little nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie.
If you were the GM, what would you do?
I would have went for the second pick, not the third. I would have shot for the second pick, not the third. It's like, look, let Urban Meyer take whoever he's going to take at one, and then we'll just take the other guy at two. It's I'd rather have the 50-50 than waiting on the other 10%, which is exactly what Lynch is doing. He's waiting on that other 10%. It's like, ugh, I don't know. I really don't know. I keep thinking it could be Wilson, or he just my strange theory is that Urban Meyer may shock the world and Trevor Lawrence will not get picked number one. And Justin Fields gets picked number one. Everybody says I'm definitely out to lunch because of being a Buckeye fan. And I said, well, that's just kind of the thing. He knows the Buckeye setup. He knows pretty much what he wants in his quarterback. And Fields proved to be not just the typical Ohio State running quarterback, but Fields proved that he can be a pocket passer. And that's the nice thing about him. So I'm really not discrediting it that you never know what's going to happen. It could be a shock the world moment next Thursday. It really could be.
Well, you know what? You've mentioned the Browns. So do you still root for the Browns, even though you said you are a Browns fan by birthright?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What's your thoughts on Clowney coming to town?
If he can stay healthy, that defense, Ben, Lamar, and Joe are all going to sit there and go, excuse me, can we have a diaper change? Because I don't want to go. I just thinking about those two guys on the ends, I'm just like, yep, good luck. If you thought you had a pocket, you thought wrong.
I was going to say they're going to be dominant. I mean, if again, as you said, if Clowney still – and I got to be honest, I don't know much about Clowney in the last couple of years. I haven't seen him play that much, but I'm just assuming that if he's the monster that he was at one time, the Browns are looking pretty good on that line.
Which is nice because to not have to sit here next Thursday night and wonder who the Browns are getting in the first seven picks, you know, I think, what, they're 17th? I mean, we're not talking about draft day, you know, usually. Mm-hmm. As everybody's always like, well, you know, who are you guys taking right up at the top? Well, guess what? We're not at the top. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice to not be the talk of all the mainstream media where the Jags and the Jets and now the 49ers are. Mm-hmm. It's nice to not be being almost ridiculed in the sense. Because it's just like, you know, oh, geez, here you guys go again. And it's like, you know what? After a while, as a fan, you just get tired of hearing it. You really do. And it's annoying.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there real quick before we move on. Talk a little wrestling. I know you said you have an NHL guy, but do you have any thoughts on the NHL season?
To tell you the honest truth, I try to keep catching a Blue Jackets game once in a while. And the great thing is that Boogie is a big fan of watching hockey. And at first, when he was littler, he liked the penguin decoration. And I'm going, okay, we got to get you away from that real fast. I'm like, hey, we have our other half of our family is in Detroit. So they're, of course, Red Wings folks. I says, and we're really close to Columbus. I said, so let's stay with the Blue Jackets. I said, we want to stay away from anything Pittsburgh, no Steelers. And I said, no Pirates, no Penguins, if we can avoid it. So he doesn't really have a particular favorite. He just likes watching the game. He understands the game. I explained it pretty simplistic. He loved the, who doesn't, the Mighty Ducks movies. He watched them until the cows come home. So he really learned a lot by watching the movies. And then to see the actual game played, he had a really good time. And my cousin even came back home from Carolina, and he used to play with, he used to play on the North Olmsted High School team. And I guess they had a reunion, and the guys all got together, different graduating classes, and they'd play against each other. and I took Bryce to his first live, that was his first live hockey game experience. And he just said, wow, is it kind of hard? He goes, I can't really see the puck. And I said, only when it's kind of on the one half. I said, but if you follow where the guys are, I says, you can kind of figure out where the puck is. And he really enjoyed it. He likes watching it. And cool. I said, that's really cool.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with George for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, thousands and thousands of back issues, posters, one world-class pull system, and much, much more. So you need to swing on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you could still check out all the cool stuff going on at the store. Just check them out on their website, wgcomics.com, or you can even find them on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And if you interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. Well, I saw on Facebook that you watched WrestleMania. So I'll guess I'll ask, what were your thoughts on WrestleMania event from a couple weeks ago?
You know, the WWE, it was fantastic to see fans. And I know it meant a lot for the athletes. And yes, they are athletes. You have to be extremely athletic, even though it is a scripted storyline of sorts, your athleticism for what they have to do is beyond impressive. But they usually try to feed off of crowds and crowd noise, and to be able to be in the stadium and actually have the fans. I mean, Vince himself, before they even got started, he thanked them for being there, and he said, this is definitely for the fans, and they really appreciated it. And the Saturday night, it was just fantastic. They did a great job. Sunday night was kind of more of, I thought, the snoozer of the whole week, because even the NXT group that Triple H actually runs, they had their pay-per-view, per se, on Wednesday and Thursday night, and that was even more fantastic. And I said, boy, the WrestleMania folks on the other two rosters, I said, they have got a lot of work to do to raise that bar. The NXT group put the bar high. And then Saturday night definitely was even with those guys. And Sunday kind of was the downside. I don't know if it was the fact that a lot of folks were kind of, you know, however they were playing out their storylines. I don't know if it was the fact that, you know, it had already been a long week or what they were waiting on, but they looked like they missed their marks in a lot of their matches and such. And it was kind of disappointing. And even the way some of the stuff turned out, you just sit there and go, okay, I could have wrote the match up a little bit better than that. So it was a little weird. Overall, 3 out of the 4 days, not too bad.
I agree with you as well. I feel for Mania, I feel overall Saturday was better than Sunday, though I felt Sunday's main event was fantastic. I thought, you know, the triple threat match was just, oh my. I mean, the ending could have been better, but overall I thought it was really, really good. You know, I just think that, you know, I think we're in this great time where you're getting more and more competition. But I don't see the WWE doing anything to outpace the competition.
Yeah, AEW, I brought this question up to the guys on Hot Tag. And I said, AEW, Cody came out and said, they won't be picking up the WWE scraps. So far, though, that's exactly kind of what's happened. That's exactly what's going on is... As WWE is sitting there going, well, we don't have anything for you, and it's letting them go, and then all of a sudden those guys get over to AEW, and outside of Luke Harper or Brody Lee, they were setting up a great storyline with him until his unfortunate passing. But to really have Rusev fall in your lap and you are not doing anything with him. It's nerve wracking. You just want to grab the brick wall and slam your head into it going, what are you guys doing? The guy had a massive following. He came up with that whole Rusev Day thing on his own, which ticked off Vince, by the way. If it's not Vince's idea, he doesn't like it. Well, it went through the roof, social media, T-shirts, merch, all sorts of merch. And Vince is like, nah, why don't you take a couple months off? And it let it die down. People kind of forget about it. And then next thing you know, you're out of the door. You're like, what the heck? That's stupid. So I don't know. It's as much as I keep trying to sneak a peek on AEW, I think they, yes, okay, fine. You're outdoing NXT. You're not facing Raw or SmackDown ratings. So guess what? That doesn't mean you're facing the best of the best. You're not doing what WCW did. WCW came right out and went, we'll take you on. Let's go. They're not.
And you know what? The other thing I think that when you talked about Cody mentioning, they mentioned from the get-go they were going to be a sports-based, not a sports entertainment, but they're going to be an athletic competition show. And I feel like they've gone away from that over the last year or so, and they're just writing bad WWE TV. I feel like that's the big problem, and I want them to succeed. I'm not one of those people that is you know, a hater towards AEW. I think that you watch an episode of AEW, there's at least two or three things that are good, but there is a lot of crap you got to settle through, kind of like WCW.
Right, and you know, you really want to see, you know, that whole scorecard thing. You know, they made that a big emphasis.
Yeah.
That, the scorecard thing is going to dictate what happens. And it was a great idea when you started, but, you know, you kind of notice that they're getting away from it. And you're just like, hey, don't forget about you said this. And you just got that feeling. It's just going to fall back into the old. Everybody's going to fall back into bad habits and whatnot. And I still hadn't caught the whole thing of the Stone Cold podcast with Chris Jericho, which I'm very intrigued to finish, because one, I mean, how it begins is just amazing. It's just like, you're here, and it's like, yeah, how did Vince really approve with this? And Vince went, go right ahead. And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. So yes, I'm very intrigued to hear the whole thing, because that's got to be the best, almost a great almost two hours to listen to those two tell stories.
So who are some of your favorite wrestlers to watch, or maybe who were some of your favorites to watch? You know, I don't know how far back you go with your fandom, but who are some of your favorites?
I go back to JYD.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'll roll it all the way back to Junkyard Dog. He was literally the very first match I believe I had ever seen. And I think it was him and Hart in a match. And I just thought, who the heck would wear a dog collar to the ring? I'm just like, what on earth is – he was entertaining as all could be. And I said, you know what? This dude's pretty cool. And I said, you know what? That is awesome. Macho Man a little bit, pretty much more – I wasn't really all that a big Hogan fan. As much as everybody would have been on that bandwagon, I just wasn't one. I really wasn't. And even today, I'm still not. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I just don't like blondes. Oh, no. And then, of course, the Attitude Era kicked in. I am a pretty big Stone Cold fan. And currently, I definitely like the Roman Reigns. I am a big proponent. I love watching him wrestle. Daniel Bryan does a great job as far as wrestling plus his storytelling, the personalization that, you know, understanding about his injury and everything that went on. The Hardy Boys are my big tag team. If I got to pick one of them, the Hardy Boys are mine. my faves. And in fact, Jeff Hardy specifically, I just wish that, you know, he could have kept himself. I think if he would have kept himself even more clean, he would have really ran through WWE. I mean, granted, you're not going to sit there and keep doing swantons every single night because that back won't last forever. Mm-hmm. But he can tell a story. And right now, I think they're wasting the rest of his career at this moment. And I hope somebody gets in there and changes something up, because he even said it himself. He would love to do one more good run and do a Hell in a Cell match. And now that John Morrison is back in WWE, I was always a big fan of his. And to see him and Hardy go one more time and do a Hell in a Cell would just be, I take my money, please.
Well, that's cool that you go all the way back to JYD. He was, he was the man for, you know, even though he wasn't as popular as Hogan. And I agree with you as well. As a kid, I never really bought into Hogan, because as a kid, George, I recognized that, like, Hogan did the same match time in and time out. Like, even as a kid, I picked up on that. I'm like, wait, he does the same thing. So I kind of, that kind of got me away from liking Hogan, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you were bored with it. And as a kid, when you're bored with seeing the same thing, it's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was like, I've seen that, done that. So I liked more chaotic stuff. That was my thing, you know. I like those matches that were wild and crazy and all that jazz as a kid. So, but no, you know, JYD, he was a favorite of many people. I like JYD. I saw him at an indie show, actually, one of my first indie shows ever. He was the headliner.
That's cool. That is very cool.
All right, well, let's wrap up with a couple of miscellaneous things here. First of all, I want to say that your performance on Remake Revolution was pretty darn good. You know. I know you rolled solo, but I really liked your pitch. I really liked your cast. And for those folks who are listening, I have no idea. Well, first of all, if you're listening to this episode of the PVD cast, you should know all about Remake Revolution, because I talk about it frequently. But if you're unfamiliar with it, it's a little game that the Three Geeks podcast, Mike McGTV, and I like to play, where we remake a movie based on certain categories: the pitch, the cast, the marketing, and the director/writer. And George, for your first time, man, you did pretty darn good, man.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you what, I had woke up on Sunday and happened to just kick and scroll through the Facebook, and I saw the show airing, and I kicked on it, and I'm listening, and they're like, yep, you guys are probably going to get a bye week. And I went, well, hang on a second. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah. Dueling Aces guys could pretty much give it a crack, and why not? And granted, I had no clue what I was in for. Nada.
Oh yeah, and you unfortunately drew. Yeah, you drew a fierce opponent in those two guys from the Scene Snobs.
Well, to know that they had 2 weeks to do it, and I did it in 36 hours, was. What I definitely turn around and I'm like, wow, I took them to extra categories. So yes. To take them to overtime in my world, I thought was pretty cool. I just wish that they would have asked about the costume thing and gave it to them first, so I could quickly look up somebody, because I had no clue anybody for costume. I'm like, I wouldn't even know where to begin. It's like, because usually I like to do a little research on some stuff. And, you know, I think one of the nice things was is when I got asked, who's doing your soundtrack? And I said, Van Halen. And they're going, which lead singer? I was like, I just straight faced Sammy. And he said, good answer. I was like, well, I guess that won that point with the judge.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Like I said, I thought, wow, to flip the movie literally no holds barred into a horror movie, I think that really intrigued actually even my competition. You're just like, he did what?
Yeah, you did a great pitch. I mean, I felt like, with all due respect to the scene snobs, they were kind of just rehashing it and updating it. And I liked the fact that you were ballsy enough to kind of take it and flip it on its head and do something different with it. So, you know, great job, man.
Oh, thanks. Like I said, I appreciate that. And, you know, like I said, I just glad I could push them to their limit, as they told me.
Yeah. So you've also been nominated for Snobby Awards, and I should let the listeners know we are recording this a few days, well, actually about 4 or 5 days before the Snobby Awards happen. But you've been nominated. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's mind blowing. In fact, I informed the rest of the main crew, and they said, "What?" I said, "Yeah," the razzing went back and forth, you know, oh, it must have been the episode Mike wasn't on, or Suds must have missed one. That's the one that they saw. And, you know, the harassment went back and forth, but all of the guys are really, you know, they're really surprised by it, and they're all pretty much tickled pink about it. And they're just like, dude, this is pretty cool. And when they found out, it's like, well, guess what? We also happen to be the only group in that category. It's like, and I do love one of the scene snob guys says, well, that's because nobody could hold a candle to him. And I was just like, oh, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. I love it. I love it. I absolutely loved it. I said, that's awesome. Like I said, we're really, you know, we're really excited about it. We're glad. And I told them, you know, the fun part about this is you never know who's watching.
Right.
You exactly. Have absolutely no idea who's watching, who's listening, and who is truly entertained by us just goofing off and talking sports and just having a good time with us. You know, they don't need to be commenting in the chat room. They could just be watching in the background, doing dishes, whatever, you know, finishing up dinner and just enjoying listening and laughing at us or laughing with us, whatever the case may be. We appreciate it. And, you know, we're just really honored, and we think it's absolutely cool.
And you know what? You could be the first inaugural winner of that title. And next year, when there's more sports podcasts that are nominated, you already have a leg up.
Yeah, I've already even informed the panel that for the submissions, I said, just a heads up that the Year Out of Bounds could definitely probably give the Dueling Aces show a run for its money.
All right. Well, George, let's wrap things up here. Let everybody know where they can get in touch with you on the internet. I know you said that you're on hiatus for right now, and you're coming back hopefully here in the next few months. But let everybody know website, social media, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, well, we're strictly at the moment. We're on Facebook. The pages are Dueling Aces and the You're Out of Bounds are both on Facebook pages. And just strictly the two spots you can find the full library of all of our shows since we started it over a year ago. And just go ahead and go back through, catch up. I mean, the fantasy shows are literally some of the best ones where we sat down and went through each of the different sports and came up with our own fantasy teams of the baseball, the football, basketball. Those were a lot of fun because the guys really did a great job doing research, you know, going back, seeing, you know, just not the 80s and 90s. Some of these guys went back and looked at the 40s and 50s and came up with people. And it was a lot of fun. It really was. So, yep, definitely check us out. And we're looking probably about the first week of June, I believe, is when we're roughly looking at kicking back in.
Okay. So don't miss it, folks. Keep an eye on the social media when Dueling Aces comes back even stronger than before, probably with a nice Snobby Award in their possession. You could check them out.
The show also gets broadcast on the Redline Radio LLC, radio.co. So it will also be on redlineradiollc.com as well.
Right. There you go. George, thanks, man, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. This is absolute blast. I know we've been wanting to, you know, get together to chew the fat, and this was a great opportunity to. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with George G. talking about the Dueling Aces podcast and even mixing in a little wrestling and sports news as well. It was a fun time talking with George, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And you can let me know if you did or not a couple different ways. First, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pbdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of this podcast. Just look for @pbdcast. And you can even find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's several different places where they can get it. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, which is probably a safe place to go to get every episode. It's also available through all those major podcasting platforms. Just put PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it as well. In your favorite podcast platform search engine, and you should find it. And don't forget, there's a couple of Facebook broadcasts and live broadcasts that happen through the week. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, through the Facebook page of the PVDcast, you can hear this week's episode. And on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can hear the current episode of the PVDcast through The Scene Snobs. Just step on over to thescenesnobs.com, and you can find out when all these great podcasts that are on that network are airing, including the PVDcast and many others. And trust me, there's some great podcasts you need to check out on that network. All right, with that being said, I'm going to get on out of here. Once again, thank you for listening to this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.